Okay.
We're back. It's been a minute.
We're back. Feels good to be back on the mics.
Yeah, on the ones and twos. Is that, or is that like...
On the ones and twos?
Maybe not
that. I've never heard that. I like that. I love that. We usually don't sit like this.
We definitely don't usually sit like this. Well, because I put my couch together.
Right. I love it. My pussy tastes like Pepsi Cola.
Eyes are wide like cherry pie.
I'm just looking at Bree's notes that say the disassociation required to make it in Hollywood.
Do you think that's true?
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, I Bree, am prepping to leave in a few days to go to LA to cover the Harvey Weinstein trial.
You say I Bree as if people don't know exactly that your voice is...
We just don't know.
Yeah. Okay. I did it myself.
And so I've been just going through a lot of the Harvey stuff and combing through it. And I think the relationship that Harvey and Lana had is incredibly thought-provoking.
Yeah.
We love Lana so much.
Die hard since the start.
And the thing about Lana is, like, she gives us stuff and no one agrees with her and while it's happening. And it's, like, torturous for her to be the pinnacle and, like, the voice and the sound safe space for all of us to go back to and go, she was right.
Yeah. But
as with anything, I always go back to what would Lana give me?
Yeah.
And for Harvey, it's especially interesting time and moment to be able to have a historical Lana reference because Lana and Harvey were in a relationship.
Yeah.
However difficult and perplex and complex that it might have been, they were in a relationship.
Yeah, we can't say. What we do know is that she's written about him and he was kind of the male figure, the older male figure that inspired a lot of tracks on Born to Die.
Yeah.
And she flat out says his name in Cola.
Yeah.
She says, Harvey's in the sky with diamonds and he's making me crazy.
And then she says, I know your wife and he wouldn't mind. I have a whole playlist on Spotify called Harvey and Lana.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get through these and decide like what songs are about him, like the whole thing or just like some lines. Like,
yeah.
It's hard to say. And it's like, well, is the point all the songs she wrote or is the point that like there, when you look at the testimony from the New York trial for Harvey and you just imagine, you know, the LA trial has five victims. New York had three. Mm-hmm. There's 11 counts in LA. This LA trial is just bigger. And Harvey's team filed for an appeal and they won. Like they're going to get a second trial in New York. That's really, really hard to do.
Yeah.
So Me Too's not over. Like, like Harvey, like we're not over. We might be just in the middle of it.
Yeah. I mean, like, what's interesting about the Harvey LA trial is that it's not just about him as a man. It's about like the takedown of Hollywood.
Yeah.
Like it's really the takedown of Hollywood, which is what, I don't know, like things, I don't think we understand the way things have shifted. We can't yet understand the way things have shifted since Me Too.
We can't understand.
Yeah.
Just like with 9/11, we were like, oh, it's like airplanes. Like now we have to like, now we can't like fly like at the airport. We're like, no,
yeah, it was like we were in immediate survival modes. Like I flew the next summer, I remember, to Europe and I was really scared. Like in 2002, like getting like, I was like, the security feels, I was like, what, like 7 years? No, it was 2002. So I was like nine or something. But like,
it's in 2001.
No, but the year after 9/11 flying, I just remember like the first time I flew and I was like, is it weird that we're like, but it was just, we were all in survival mode and I was like, oh, the security is different. I'm afraid of a bomb on an airplane now. Like our millennials grew up with a fear as children of terrorism.
Yes.
Yeah. Because, and we're both from New York. So like it happened in our, in close proximity to us. Like both my parents were in the city on 9/11. Anyway, what I'm saying is we were in survival mode.
Right. And it made us a really racist community.
Yeah.
And now we're becoming a super gendered community.
Yeah.
And we are forgetting that males are half the population.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We need them. Yeah. And like the, we really need them. Are you kidding me? Also like, I don't know. We all fucking need each other.
We all need each other.
And I think like Harvey as a muse on Lana's like debut record. I mean, let's just like period, full stop.
Period, full stop.
Like what? I mean,
she was telling us something like from John.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right away. And like she, Lana has always done such a beautiful job of commenting on, she always writes about California.
Yeah.
But in like a gritty New York way.
Yeah. She's like resentful almost.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, she is. And like her like poetry album and stuff is all about like LA, like you don't love me, yes, but I love you. What will you have you? Me? Yeah. Yeah. Can you take me? Like, are you my mother, LA? Like, I know. Which is, and she, which I love so much, but like really the, like that, the male figure in Hollywood was Harvey Weinstein for so fucking long. And like Gwyneth Paltrow, like in the pink dress being like, and thank you to Harvey. Harvey, I couldn't have done this without you. Crying.
Crying.
Crying in her pink dress holding her Oscar. Like, what the fuck?
So it's, I don't doubt that in the 90s, women had a much different experience with Harvey than like the Jennifer mm-hmm. Lawrence and Lana Del Rey's.
Totally.
And I do think those women were completely caught off guard.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think there became a transition mm-hmm. or became an open secret.
Yeah.
Courtney Love
warned
us.
Open secret.
Yeah. Courtney Love, she was asked on a red carpet, Comedy Central, a roast.
Right.
The question was, if you could give any young girls any advice who are just moving to Hollywood, what would it be? And she goes, I'm going to get liable for this. If Harvey Weinstein ever invites you to a room with Chateau Marmont, don't go.
Yeah. Like, iconic.
Yeah. She said Chateau Marmont, right?
I don't know if it was Chateau Marmont.
Beverly Hills Hotel.
I think his spot might have been Chateau Marmont, which, isn't again, Lana. Spot?
Yeah. Yeah.
But like his spot where he raped people. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah. I think that he definitely took people to, I don't know if it was Chateau, but it's interesting though, because like Lana's whole aesthetic at the beginning, so when she was first in popular culture, was like her sitting in the Chateau Marmont, like being interviewed with her long nails, like looking like Priscilla.
Yes.
What's Elvis?
Yeah.
Priscilla, right? Yeah. What's her name? Yes. Looking so like a vampy queen.
Vampy queen.
Yeah. And like sitting in a beautiful hotel room at the Chateau, like being like, I just write about like painful relationship
we need
that
to
I had
context of like when Lana was in college, she studied like poetry and then also neurophysics or like some kind of physics because she was like, what are we mm-hmm. like what came first, God or the human kind of vibe.
Yeah.
So Lana going to LA and like changing eras but also like being before her time in like this really like tense way of how a human is formed.
Mm-hmm.
It is just like we should be thanking her for having these wild experiences. And I wonder if she's going to testify on Harvey's behalf. I'm assuming she won't.
She probably won't just because it's straight up dangerous.
So dangerous. She doesn't know what she's actually defending. It gets really tricky.
It's way too tricky. And, you know, as much as Lana is the queen of like, she's not, she doesn't have to answer to anyone. She's made it that way for herself and her art as much as she possibly can.
Right.
But like, she doesn't care about money, Lana. No. Like she's like, she will not release anything for a long time and then give us like 3 fucking full albums in a row. Like this is what she does. Right. Like she doesn't care. And she's doing it always for the right reasons, which is she's like such a true artist. And she doesn't, she's like not beholden to any institutions.
Right.
But this, but kind of like, I don't know, her being truthful about Harvey would probably be something that, with her complexities, the complexities that she would bring to it would be something that people can't handle.
Yeah.
And wouldn't want to.
Right. Because, like, let me say this, which is, like, really a fucked up thing to say.
Yeah.
One of the witnesses in the New York case, Harvey, the first time they had sex, was, like, definitely surprised her and raped her. But then they continued with an affair.
Yeah.
And, like, she would, like, write hearts around his name in her notebook and, like, email and text him that, like, she wanted to be more than just a fuck buddy. Like, the lines were, like, super blurry after the first one. And when asked for an explanation, she was, like, well, he could further my career and make me more, like, I wanted to work in the industry. She didn't say famous, but she's like, I want to be in the industry. And it's like, well, Lana's really upfront with those being also the same reasons.
Totally.
Like, literally wrote a song called Fuck My Way to the Top. Literally wrote Money, Power, Glory. Like, she's not demure about, like, if anyone had power, it would be an aphrodisiac for her.
Yeah, and she's, like, of the mindset that's, like, just take it. Just do what you have to do and take it.
Yeah.
Like, don't play to people. Like, don't be, like, don't, like, follow the mainstream, what everyone else did to, like, figure it out and, like, answer to that person, say this about that, be – she's so politically incorrect. She always has been.
Right.
She's always, you know, and like, but she's very, yeah, exactly. Like, she's very open and honest about, like, of course I did all that dirty shit that everyone's doing.
Yeah.
Cause I just believe in taking power and, and influence.
Yeah.
And that's why Lana has always, I mean, if you look at like the video of Ride and stuff and like the male figure that Lana is always conjuring, they're incredibly like old school and old.
Yeah.
And just like they're like men. They're like manly men.
Yeah. They're not like in tech.
No. Madeline said to me, she was like, you need to be with a man. Like, none of these gay New York guys. And I was like, you know what? You're right. Like, it's just like these like pussies in New York. Like, it's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, Lana is always conjuring just a really manly man. And I think her, the way that she sings about masculinity is just like really raw. And like, there's, it's not like she's laying it all out there. And like, we don't have to read into her lyrics to understand that, like, obviously Cola is about Harvey Weinstein. Like, obviously, $1 Million Man.
Obviously, $1 Million Man. Obviously, Fuck My Way to the Top.
Obviously,
yeah. Textbook. Like, and the part in Blue Banisters when she says, there's a man that's in my past. There's a man that's still right here. It's real enough to touch. How the hell did we get here?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, she has plenty of ex-men. But that, like, I just feel like Harvey and what's going on with Harvey, like, I feel like her view of it is crushing her.
Yeah, it's, and he hovers over everything that she creates. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And because he hovers over the real, like, there's our government that controls America, and then there's Hollywood that controls America. Yeah. And Hollywood is more powerful. They're all intertwined, first of all. But second of all, like, Hollywood is our governing force, like, completely.
I love this. I'm smiling ear to ear right now.
Yeah. Yes. Like, Hollywood is our governing force. We do everything that they tell us to.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a man at the helm of the ship for a while, and it was Harvey, and it was Miramax. Like, he fucking controlled everything.
I agree with you. Hollywood and the government are so close that they use the same people to take out women they want to shut up.
Yes, they do.
I can't believe I just said that.
Oh my God, that was beautiful.
Thank you.
It's uncanny. It's like, why are we not? And I don't know, like, if you're gonna hop on all of the, like, okay, so none of us are a part of Hollywood, right? Like, the general population is not a part of Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And yet we feel like we can comment on it. And we feel like we can be like when Me Too happened and stuff. Me Too started because of Hollywood, right? Like, because, right. And then, but it became
Me,
like,
Too started with Bill Cosby.
Okay. Really? That was the first Me Too?
So 30 Rock had done a joke about Bill Cosby raping women.
Mm-hmm.
And then Broad City did a joke about Bill Cosby. And then one of the actors, Hannibal Buress, who was a supporting actor, main boyfriend of a main character on Broad City, he was doing stand-up and a really successful tour.
Mm-hmm.
And he made a joke about Bill Cosby drugging women and raping them.
He was always really creepy. My dad has a story about him. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Like, he was on some commercial with him and, like, he was like, there was something weird that happened, like a girl, or maybe it's my aunt. I forget. It's, everyone's in advertising and has stories about being on shoots with people, like, but there's one story in my family about Bill Cosby, and it's like, yeah, like this girl did not want to go into his trailer. She was like a production assistant, and it was in the 90s, and they were like, why? What's going on? And then all of the women on set kind of just knew. They were like, wow. Yeah, don't let her go in there alone. Yeah. I mean, obviously he's always been really creepy. That's a dumb thing to say, but like, it's not, right. Like people like knew. Yeah.
Support when he said that.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is like a few months ago, I was walking outside Jeffrey Epstein's house, as I do every few weeks.
Yeah.
And one of the
never been. I should go.
Oh, we should go. We'll yeah. not busy later. we went, and one of the construction workers was like, yeah, that's Bill Cosby's townhouse right across the street. And I Googled it, and it is, and it has been since the early 90s.
That's really, yeah.
And I was like, are there tunnels underneath this house? And he was like, honestly, I checked. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, I thought so too. It's like, but I didn't see any. And I was like, you're not looking hard enough.
Yeah.
If you're telling me that across the street from this house is not only Bill Cosby's house, but the Frick Museum, which is the only museum that does not allow photography.
Oh my God.
You're telling me that they just walk to each other's house across the street? I don't think so.
No, definitely fucking not. There's tunnels.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is like with all of the Hollywood stuff, the point that I was kind of rambling my way to is that the way that everything that came out in Hollywood with the Me Too movement trickled down into the general population is just we don't know. Like, we don't fucking know. And there's so many actresses that, you know, are like these beautiful young actresses sitting there quietly being like, yeah, I did it too. Like, I had to do what I had to do to be in that Miramax movie.
Okay, but I have to say something really fucked up. I've been watching a lot of Jersey Shore lately,
mm-hmm.
and I've been doing it in between studying Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, Harvey would have never made that cast do anything special to get their jobs.
No.
Okay, I know what I just said was really... I know what I just said. I understand that was a fucked up thing to say.
It's true.
But I'm just saying, like... If Harvey Weinstein and fucking for jobs is no longer a thing in Hollywood, we're just going to have more reality TV. Or do you fuck for real? I'm going to edit this whole part out.
Why?
It's so bad.
No, it's not bad. It's so true.
What's the point I'm trying to make when I say, like, Harvey would not have... been like, you all need to blow me.
That he selected like beautiful, smart, talented. No offense, I literally die for Jersey Shore, but like he didn't care about reality TV because it was like trashy nobodies. Obviously, like he preyed upon beautiful, intelligent, talented women.
Yeah,
and. I think it's also just interesting that he's so fucking ugly.
So ugly. So I was talking to a guy about this recently who, his name's Chris. He used to live in LA, and he was like, everyone knows what a scumbag Harvey Weinstein is. And I was like, it's just weird because he's so fucking ugly. And he mm-hmm. was like, that's the thing. He's like, growing up, he's like, you know, you have people hit on you once in a while in the street. If you smile at them, they'll smile back at you. He's like, and same with me. It's like, I've never had anyone laugh in my face before because I'm not mm-hmm. attractive. He's like, but those people that get laughed at when they're like in elementary school and have a crush. Yeah. He's like, those people end up like destroying other people.
Yeah. Destroying other people. I'm building an empire around destroying other people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. His ugliness is like really.
It's not. There's no right angle to look at him and not be disgusted.
Also, like. There was always like so much that everyone said before all of the everything 2016 and everything came out about like him raping everyone. People were like, he's an asshole. And like it was in Entourage. The guy who they had him was like a dance. Big fat mess of a man.
What do they call him? Do they legit call him Harvey?
No, they
Marvy or something they, like.
It would just like they swapped it out for another Jewish name.
But it was like a very yeah. obvious thing.
Yeah, it was very obviously. I think it was Miramax too. I think they used Miramax. I don't know how they got away with that.
And they did a character of Lizzie Grant. So and Entourage Lizzie Grant. Was also obsessed with Harvey
yeah,
and Lana.
You guys, if you want to go on a crazy acid trip.
I feel like I'm on an acid trip.
Yeah.
How do we not realize it before this literal moment?
What, about Lizzie Grant?
No, we already knew that the Entourage had a Lizzie Grant character, but what I'm saying is they had a Lizzie and a Harvey character. That's really standout.
Yeah.
I guess Entourage did a lot, but like, it felt different. And by the way, Lizzie Grant is Lana Del Rey's real name.
Yeah,
Elizabeth
Lizzie
Grant
yeah.
is Lana's real name.
And also Bree's Instagram handle
just
right now.
I'm being like an, what is it called? Living my art. You know?
You're doing method. You're in deep method.
I'm deep method.
Yeah, you're in deep method. It's fine. She's going to LA, you guys. She's in deep method.
In deep method.
You're going to like wander around. Like imagine the things you're going
to
see.
That's what I was saying this morning. I was like, I'm going to go to LA and like not go to like my coffee shop every morning I go to on the weekend.
It's going to be great. You're going to get like a chaga latte from Erewhon and like wander around.
No, I really will not be spending my money on Erewhon.
You wait, bitch.
I feel like their watermelon pressed juice though is going
to
be really good.
You have to get the Hailey Bieber smoothie and call it a day.
I don't think that I would do that.
It's really good. It tastes like a strawberry milkshake.
Hailey Bieber is a talented ballerina, but like something about Hailey, I'm like, I like you, but like I'm.
Our friend said she's a girl, not a woman.
Who said that? Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're right. I was like, she's so beautiful. Trying to be like, I don't know. Sometimes I say that to guys just to be like, I think she's so hot, right?
You're talking about our friend who has a girlfriend. And we were trying to pretend like we're happy for him, but we know it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
And you said to her, you said to him, oh, she's so pretty.
Yeah. And he was like, I was like, isn't she like so gorgeous? And he was like, yeah, but she's a girl. She's not a woman. And I was like, oh, cool. That makes me feel like a woman.
It made me feel like a woman too.
Yeah. It makes me feel like a hot woman.
Yeah.
And I'm a 29-year-old hot woman.
Katie turned 29 2 days ago.
I did.
I mean, appropriate about it. I was also dramatic when I turned.
Yeah, I'm being really dramatic. It just feels older than 30.
I don't think you're being really dramatic. I think you're being like, you're just announcing your feelings.
Yeah, I'm just whatever. But yeah, let's.
Sorry, Harvey.
Lana. Harvey and Lana.
Entourage.
The Entourage episode that when they go to Sundance and they have a huge fight with Harvey and Ari hates him. Like. They never want to work with him. He's trying to like take one of their movies or something and produce it. And no, it I think they literally say Miramax in it though.
We'll have to watch, but it was that when they did Medellin and Harvey offered them a bunch of money and they're like, no, Harvey, we're not gonna let you just buy it without seeing
buy the
it.
Movie.
We
yeah.
want everyone to offer us. And Harvey was like a dick. And then the whole movie sucked.
Yeah.
And Harvey was like, oh my God, LOL, you fucking losers.
Yes.
So it did show that like Harvey really does come out on top.
Yeah, completely.
In business deals.
And that people were pissed about it. Like it was like trying to be like we're not we hate him. He's a dick. He uses brute force in everything he does to get what he wants. Mm-hmm. And his sexual misconduct, if you will, was not touched upon because they would have been this was I mean that episode of Entourage must have come out in like 2009 or 2008
really
yeah so like you could never have fucking I mean it was on HBO like I don't know they could do their own things but
these like Bill Cosby was 2017 so I can't believe what our last five almost 6 years of life has been we've really been through a lot
and Hollywood as an industry we should never have known what goes on behind, but like we had to know.
We have to look, but like now it's like on us to help them stop Hollywood.
No, exactly. And it's like, how the fuck could we understand?
Like, this is the same as anyone going to Spider-Man opening night in like 1999.
Yeah.
Is us like tuning into Harvey Weinstein like this.
Yeah.
It's the same production.
It's just, I don't know how like society and the people that observe Hollywood but aren't in Hollywood are going to be able to make sense of all of this.
Right.
And I think that like a lot of the barking Me Too bitches, not the people who got raped by Harvey Weinstein or got raped in general. We hate rape. Fuck rape. Totally. But yeah. I just think that like a lot of people don't understand what really has gone on and what people that they probably admire did to get their careers.
Yeah.
Did to get their careers.
And also, like, putting your name into a victim circle at this point, whether it's for assault or for being misgendered or for being literally anything, it's like the equivalent of 1940s giving blowjobs.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
There's a performance no matter what it
is. There's a performance. There's a performance to it. And I think it's also really, it must be interesting for the women of Hollywood when everything turned over, like when all of a sudden they were like, okay, you can talk about Harvey, like Gwyneth Paltrow did it. You can do it now.
Yeah.
And probably a lot of people were like really nervous and confused and were like, some people had relationships with some of these men. Like, I don't know. Like, it's not just Harvey. Harvey is representative of like men in Hollywood in general who are like totally abusing their power. And they're still in charge in Hollywood. When I saw Don't Worry, Darling and Olivia Wilde's name came on the screen at the end, I fucking, so corny, cried just seeing her name as the director of that incredible movie. Like, I was sitting there, I was alone in the movie theater, like eating buttery popcorn. And I was like, the movie was incredible. Like, it's really fucking good. And to see directed by Olivia Wilde on that black screen, like, was profound, because we don't have a lot of women in Hollywood that are in power. Right. Like,
the ties are changing, like women politically and in Hollywood. Is
politically, ugh.
So we're not, even if Hillary runs again.
I hope she fucking does it.
These are not options that we have, like Biden or Clinton or Trump. Like, come on.
Yeah.
These are all Applebee's options. I need like 5-star.
Lana jobs. For president. Right. Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. This is going to be really interesting.
It's going to be completely interesting. I really hope that you're joining me for part of it so we can keep podcasting about it.
Come on, baby.
Wow, that was really pretty.
Let's ride.
Never heard you sing like that.
Thank you. Yeah. Let's get into the thick of it with these lyrics.
Okay. I think that.
And with these songs, I want to talk about how there was an interview with Lana in 2017. So this was right. 2016 was when Hollywood decided to like wear the all black to the Oscars and everything. Mm-hmm. Right.
I thought it was 2017.
And it was Rose McGowan. I thought Rose McGowan was like the first person that did the. But I don't know if it was about Harvey.
Wait, we said that it was like Cannibal Burris that did Bill Cosby first, but probably was 2016 Trump grabbing by the pussy that started this all, wasn't it?
Or I don't know. We're dumb, but we are
grabbing by the pussy video that we forgot it even existed.
Yeah, I mean, that was crazy, man.
Wow,
with Billy Bush.
Yeah.
In 2016 was the Me Too in Hollywood moment.
Yeah.
So in 2017, Lana does an interview with MTV with like some dumb bitch named Gabby.
I mean, listen,
I know.
I would love to have gotten that interview.
But I would have done it totally differently. She's an idiot.
She didn't know. She had no idea what she was. I don't think we should call Gabby a dumb bitch. I think there's plenty of people that were reporters in this situation who are dumb bitches. I don't think that Gabby at MTV
Gabby.
Was one of them.
So okay, we're sorry, sure. Gabby, I give you some grace, but she was dumb in that she said that she was like, so she does this interview. Lana does this interview with MTV, and the interviewer is like, I want to address the fact that one of your early songs, and Cola came out in 2011 on the Born to Die album. In one of your early songs, there's a lyric that's repeated throughout it that we mentioned before that says Harvey's in the sky with diamonds and he's making me crazy. And a lot of people have speculated that that's about Harvey Weinstein. And just basically, what do you have to say to that? And Lana's like, yeah, I mean, I definitely was thinking about a Harvey Weinstein, Harry Winston-esque figure who is like
bestowing diamonds
on young starlets, but he's a benevolent man, not, which is just, wow, she's a genius. Because like to say the Harvey Weinstein, this is why Lana is so great.
Yeah, but like she,
because
really
she sticks to
not,
her guns.
She really looks at him as benevolent.
That's yes.
Like, and that's, Harvey's allowed to have one woman that finds him to be benevolent.
Exactly. And one woman that understand that is like, listen, at the end of the day, Lana's writing songs. Yeah. She's making art, which yeah. is supposed to reflect society. Mm-hmm. And this is what great art does. And it doesn't always, we got into this mode where everything has to be a statement pro or against something, which is never what art was meant to be. Like so many of my favorite singer-songwriters are like, they have no chosen stance on like a lot of things. You don't have to politicize everything. Politicizing music came from like war protest songs in the 60s when like every singer and songwriter was like a hippie that was like anti-Vietnam War, yeah. which is like fine. And that was great. But then it like, you know, we have to, there's a time and a place for like making statements in your music. But what Lana is not, Lana never claimed to do that. And in this interview, she's like, I thought of him as a benevolent man yeah. who's bestowing starlets with diamonds and stuff. And like, she then has to like, because you know it was 2017 and she was in an interview that probably her some publicist was like, you got to do this interview with MTV and clear up, it's just going to be 2 seconds, just get in there and do it.
Totally.
And like you have to say that you stand with the victims of Harvey Weinstein,
because at first she tried to just say, oh, the lyrics are he's. And I'm like, why wouldn't you at least say that it's honey's in the sky? Because that's like more believable than, ah, he's in the sky. No. Anyway.
Yeah. So she has to, and so then she has to be like, I mean, I obviously find that to be very sad now that I said that. She says, like, I find that to be very sad. Yeah. And I'm probably, and I stand with the women who are coming out against him completely.
Yeah.
Which is
all the same way as we feel.
Yes, completely the same way that we feel.
Yeah.
And like, but what she got into that interview, a lot of people who probably had issues with her walked away and were like, oh, okay, all is fair now. Like, all clear, all good. She is not anti-feminist. Like, right. like she stands with women.
But like the fact that
But
like,
she didn't say that. Really? Right. Like she said, I thought of a benevolent man and I was conjuring Harvey Weinstein.
Right.
And good for her.
But like, I like that like kind of like esoteric honesty. That's like, I look at things like a metaphor, and I look at things like poetry, and I look at things like art, because I don't know, I totally relate. I'm the same way. Like,
same.
I explain my decisions based on like, oh, they had an intuition, or like, oh, this like crazy alignment happened. And like,
same, literally every big change in my life, I have no way to explain why it happened.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, people are like, and I'm famously indecisive, but like, I don't really, I just do what I do. I show up for my life and I'm in alignment with like the things that I create and the people who are creating things around me. And shit works out. But like, life is art. To me, like, it's not, and a lot of people don't live like that. And those are the people that have issues with like Harvey as Lana's muse.
Yeah.
Cause they're like, it doesn't make sense. It isn't right. Or and I'm like, so why demented. Does it have to be right?
I'm like, wait, have you been living a non-demented life? Cause I haven't.
Like. Yeah. Don't know what that's like.
Yeah. Sorry. Can't relate, you lucky luck.
Lucky ducky. Like, yeah. Brie pointed out that in Cola, she says, in the chorus, let's ride. And then the song Ride is also like heavy.
But we don't know which song came first. So Katie and I walked to go get a Juul and a vitamin water and had this discussion.
Yeah.
Ride came out on Born to Die, and then Cola came out in the Paradise Edition. So like legally, these songs, Ride entered the waves first and Cola second. However, I feel like intuitively Cola was written first and Ride was an extension of Cola.
Yeah, because I definitely heard Ride. You know what? Now that I'm thinking back on it, though, I think it was around the same time. So in 2012, when the Paradise – that's when the Paradise edition of Born to Die came out.
Okay.
because Born to Die came out in 2011. Mm-hmm. And then Paradise Edition with all these new tracks on it came out in 2012.
Yeah.
So Cola was added with that. Yeah. And also like Gods and Monsters, which was so dark. I love Bel Air. Bel Air
is the darkest song in the whole world.
Oh my God, Bel Air. Lead Me to War with Your Brilliant Direction makes me come.
It's, well, come on though.
I know.
Yeah.
If you don't know, then sorry, you don't know.
Then you listen to the whole episode.
You just don't know. Lead Me to War.
Oh, you're talking about.
I'm talking about everything you think I'm talking about and more.
Sorry, guys.
But so, yeah. So I think Ride and Cola did come out around the same time. And the reason I thought Ride was after was because that video of Ride, which, because Ride was a single.
It's like Kim and Kanye could never.
Oh my God, never. The video of Ride, the opening when she's like, I was in the winter of my life. Stop. And the along the way were my only summer.
And they're on the ping pong table.
Yeah, and she's like, oh my God. And she's like, my mother always said I had a chameleon soul.
It's pinball table, right?
I don't know if it's a pinball table. I think
she's like whispering crazy shit.
And then she's like on that swing. That song she's changed me.
It's insane.
She is. And she's like the reason for my entire concept of masculinity, like, came from Lana. Like, I heard Video Games when I was fucking 17 years old.
Wait, who said that?
What?
Who said, wait, your whole entire?
Yeah.
Okay.
And like what I'm attracted to is from Lana Del Rey songs. Like I would have no sexuality without Lana Del Rey songs. It's just like when I first heard Video Games, and she's always just talking about like a bad guy who she likes him anyway. Like he's bad, but she likes him anyway.
Bad.
And she's his little baby. Like, this is, yeah.
That's like Justin to me.
Right. He wants to be someone's little baby.
He is my baby.
Yeah, he is. But yeah, I don't know. That is my like whole entire, like, who I'm attracted to. But in, I don't know, takeover.
I know. It's like what we're trying to say is Cola, Ride, Lana's poetry, Harvey. It's all a thing. She's given us these pieces. We aren't really going to, like, we know there's pieces to put together, and we're starting to put them together about the poetry and the metaphor of this trial and of Me Too and everything we've really gathered the last 2 years and are going to gather, you know, in the coming years. We have the Senate votes coming up. We have a new presidential election in 2024. Harvey's going to getting his appeal in New York. We have a lot of pieces that we're putting together and we're trying to figure it out. Because as we said in the first few seconds, Katie, you said, like, we aren't going to know what we're doing right now for a little while. So to say, like, Lana is a huge influence to us. And
like her artful eye on society, like her artful take on the culture and on society and on Hollywood is so important to us.
So important to us.
Yeah.
We think that if we follow her, we will end up down a, like, if we follow her breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
We'll find our own breadcrumbs, so to speak.
Yeah, totally.
So this is us giving you a little piece of our brains before the trial starts. We will obviously be podcasting with you throughout the trial and keep you posted on our revelations mentally, spiritually.
More to come.
We love you.
We love you. I feel like...